David changed his subject, so I have to introduce a little bit more than what I thought. How does this thing work? So the work I'll be describing is in collaboration with Sandeep Trivedi and also based on an earlier work with Soojong Ray. And here are some related papers on this subject. Now, we have known in the past that study of coupling of bulk modes with usual D-brains have played a crucial role in understanding, in string theory, aspects like black holes, Hawking radiation, and many other features. And this is what we have thought as the basic picture is. There is a bulk mode, which is a closed string, which goes and hits the brain, and it can break up into a certain number of open strings, which are then confined to the brain. The thing about this, about usual D brains with no B fields on it, is that if we restrict ourselves to a particular supergravity mode in the bulk, it couples to some local operators on the D brain. And the reason why this is problematic and therefore interesting for D brains with constant B fields is that if it does couple to that D brain, it should couple to a gauge invariant operator on the brain. And we know that there are no gauge invariant operators which are local in position space for non-commutative gauge theories. For the simple reason that in such theories, translations are in fact some special gauge transformations, as is indicated by this equation. There are, of course, gauge invariant operators of definite momentum. After all, we have translation invariance on the brain, and therefore the states of the theory should be labeled by momenta, and therefore there should be gauge invariant operators which create such states. These were written down by Ishibashi, Iso, Kawai, and Kitazawa, and they happen to be open Wilson lines defined as follows. So we take some non-commutative Young-Mills theory with d spatial dimensions, which I break up into p and 2n, and take a non-commutivity matrix, which is non-trivial in the 2n times 2n block. This is an open curve in that space, and we take the path ordered, I forgot to write the path ordering here, the path ordered exponential of the standard exponential e to the I a dot dx along that line, take the Fourier transform of that, integrated over entire space. So this clearly carries a total momentum, which is equal to k, and the reason why it is gauge invariant is precisely that equation which I showed in that previous transparency. So when you make a gauge transformation on this object, you have a gauge function at one end and the gauge function at the other end. So normally, if for commutative gauge theories, this would not be gauge invariant even after tracing. But now, because of that relationship of that interplay between gauge invariant gauge transformations and translations, a gauge transformation brings this point back to that point as well, making this gauge invariant. But at the same time, it tells you that the extent of this Wilson loop or the Wilson line is related to the momentum in this following way. Namely, it is proportional to that momentum, but in a direction which is transverse to the momentum. Now, this is a hallmark of non-commutative theories in general. Namely, objects which are moving with a certain momentum have a size which is proportional to that momentum in the transverse direction. For the same reason, because of the fact that this theta is non-trivial only along this non-commutative directions, this loop is closed along the directions which are in the commutative directions. So for obvious reasons, these authors proposed that these are the operators, the gauge invariant operators, which are relevant to supergravity couplings and in particular to holography. Namely, in some dual formulation of the theory in terms of some supergravity in some background, in some limit, these are the operators which will be dual to the supergravity modes. There are particular class of operators which will play an important role in this talk, which were written down by Gross, Hashimoto and Ichaki, where these Wilson lines, which in my earlier transparency could have an arbitrary shape, are taken to be straight Wilson lines. So if the Wilson lines are extended in this direction, the momentum is perpendicular to that direction, and this is just a rewriting of this previous formula with this particular choice of that contour. The nice thing is that along such Wilson lines, you can insert local operators at any point. In particular, you can insert them at the ends or along anywhere along that line. The total object is still gauge invariant, and this has the nice property. So this is their insertion. I've taken an operator at one end, attached that Wilson line, and taken a Fourier transform of this. This symbol P star denotes path ordering with respect to the standard star product of the non-commutative theory. And this has the nice feature that in the commutative limit, they reproduce the standard local gauge invariant operators which are given by this curly O. There are, of course, several other possibilities which has been discussed in a fair number of papers, and in particular, the correlations of these Wilson lines can be calculated perturbatively, which leads to a very interesting high energy behavior, which maybe some other speaker in this conference will talk about, given in these papers. The question we are going to ask is that what kind of Wilson lines are involved in linearized coupling to bulk modes. We will use the fact, which I'll explain a little bit, that a P plus 2n plus 1 dimensional non-commutative gauge theory can be obtained from ordinary gauge theories in P plus 1 dimensions at large n, in fact, strictly at infinite n. This is the construction of non-commutative gauge theories, plus in fact, present in the original papers of Kahn, Douglas, and Schwartz, and in many other papers in matrix theory, used to be called the twisted Eguchi-Kawai models by the time when I was starting graduate school. And so I'll not give all the references to this, but I will usually use some of the methods which has been recently developed in these following papers. So the idea is as follows. You start with an ordinary theory of NP brains. This is given by an ordinary UN gauge theory whose bosonic fields are some gauge fields, A mu, which runs from 1 to P plus 1, and some scalar fields, which I call Xi. These are all N by N matrices. The action, which is not necessarily just the minimal action, would contain these scalar fields through covariant derivatives and through commutators like this, and it has a classical solution where some of these xi's, namely 2n of them, have non-trivial values which commute to a matrix theta ij in ij space, but an n by n unit matrix in the large n space. So here is a classical solution. There is, of course, a trivial classical solution where X's are some commuting matrices which represent these brains which are separated from each other. The different values of those matrices, of this diagonal matrices X, denote the locations of these brains. But this is a different solution, and the idea is to find out what does it mean. So in usual parlance, what we do is to expand around this classical solution by introducing an inverse to this matrix theta, which I'll call B, and see what one gets. The connection with non-commutative, the standard formulations of non-commutative gauge theories proceeds by the observation that any infinity by infinity matrix can be represented as a function through the following dictionary. Namely, each matrix O, all these bold-faced objects denote n by n matrices, have a representative which is a function not only of xi, which was the original coordinates on the p-brain, but a new set of coordinates x, which are 2n in number. There should be a commutator here, which I didn't write. This commutator of pi, which was obtained from the classical solution by contraction with a theta, gives a derivative, trace becomes an integral, and the product of matrix becomes a standard star product. If you follow through this dictionary, you can take each object in the p-dimensional theory, p plus one-dimensional theory of the ordinary brain, and write it in the language of these functions in terms of standard functions and star products. In particular, the commutator of the two x's in those directions where they are non-trivial just turns out to be this combination of an object f, which is in fact the non-commutative gauge field, minus the inverse of the theta matrix. In this way, one therefore obtains a non-commutative U1 gauge theory, and there are ways of obtaining other non-commutative UM gauge theories by taking the classical solution to be a tensor product of this, the classical solution which I described, times a unit m by a matrix. One can take the view that this is a mathematical representation of the non-commutative Young-Mills theory, but we will take this more literally, namely, as in matrix theory, namely consider the non-commutative brain actually as made out of these lower dimensional brains, which have expanded out onto a fuzzy surface. I should mention that there is a freedom of description in describing non-commutative theories, and this procedure gives the non-commutative theory in what is known as the phi equal to minus b description. In that description, at the end of the day, everything is contracted with the open string metric, which is related to the theta parameter by this following relation, where g is the closed string metric. And the B field on the brain is the inverse of the theta parameter. The open Wilson line is constructed, can be constructed entirely out of the lower dimensional n by n matrix fields by the following construction. So one takes this object C, which you may recall is those scalar fields, and dot them with little vectors which are form that contour another C. So you take the trace of it, take a Fourier transform, and that gives you obviously an invariant object, a UN invariant object, and by that dictionary those objects should also be gauge invariant observables in the non-commutative gauge theory. And it follows from this construction that the total distance or the vector distance between the endpoints of this open line in fact is related to the total momentum by that relationship which I mentioned above. This dictionary in fact gives very simple expressions for the straight Wilson lines, which I said is going to play an important role in this talk. Namely, if I take an operator of the matrix theory, multiply it by an exponential of e to the I k dot x, where x is again those scalar fields, what this becomes is in fact the straight Wilson line of size theta times k, if the momentum k is in the perpendicular direction, with the operator O phi stuck at one of the ends. In a similar way, we will sometimes, very often, come across operators which in fact involve symmetric traces of products. Namely, we take the matrices, symmetrize them, and then take the trace. And by the same procedure, you can easily convince yourself what the translation of this object is a straight Wilson line, which I am calling a Wilson tail, with this operator O, which is smeared over this thing. That means you place the operator at any point on that Wilson tail and take an average. So given this, we are now ready to understand bulk couplings to non-commutative brains. And the main proposal is as follows. So suppose we know the form of the operator in the theory with an infinite number of p brains with b equal to 0, and which couples to some definite linearized supergravity mode in the bulk with a definite momentum along the brain directions. Our proposal then is to use the dictionary which I described above to write down the couplings to the non-commutative p plus 2n brains. So typically, such a mode will carry a factor which is like e to the ikx. It's of course a tricky issue of how to order these matrices. And in certain low energy limits, we know, well, there are some results which seem to suggest that these operators in fact come with symmetrized traces. And if that is so, the coupling can be written in the following form. This is the coupling to the p-dimensional brain with b equal to 0 of a supergravity mode, which is denoted by phi. And it has this particular form with some operator with an e to the ikx. And as I just told you, what it becomes is becomes Wilson tails with operators which are smeared along it. This, of course, gives us the coupling in what is called the phi equal to minus b description, which is characterized by those relationships of the open string coupling, the open string metric, and the relationship of the b with the theta. However, to have this, we must know the operators in the original system with a large number of brains. As an interesting aside, let me mention a result that if you take these operators with straight Wilson tails of this following form and expand this entire object in powers of the gauge field A, one gets an expansion like this. There is this operator and the rest of the terms are all total derivatives of quantities which involve a kind of product which is commutative but non-associative. I've just written down the definitions of these products. And there are similar, this is the star prime product, this is the product with three of the f's, and you can similarly define objects which have any number of those. Such products, in fact, first appeared in one-loop calculations of non-commutative Young-Mills series by these authors, and also in the solutions of the Seiberg-Witten equations which relate non-commutative gauge fields with commutative gauge fields. That have given the expression for the commutative gauge or the ordinary gauge fields in terms of the non-commutative gauge fields up to some order in A. Now, since bulk modes couple to Wilson tails, this coupling is therefore naturally expressed in terms of these products. And now we understand why this product appeared in all these many areas. They appear in the one-loop diagrams in gauge theory, since such one-loop diagrams can be thought of as exchange of supergravity modes between brains. And they appear in the Seiberg-Witten map, and in fact they should, because after all, one should be able to write down the coupling of the bulk modes with the brains in the language of ordinary gauge fields and explicit powers of B. And one should be able to perform a Seiberg-Witten map to write it in terms of the non-commutative gauge fields. And therefore, such products should make an appearance in those, in the solutions of those equations. I must emphasize that in principle, our proposal is valid without any approximation once the operators in the lower dimensional brain theory are known. The problem, however, is to know what those operators are. They are typically either known in some slowly varying field approximation or some low energy limit. And so, in order to test our proposal, we will do a particular test, and namely, we will work in the limit where the fields are slowly varying, which is known as the DBI approximation. The fields can be arbitrarily strong but slowly valid. And what we are going to do is as follows. We are going to start with some non-abelian form of the DBI action and obtain the operator as described above. We are then going to perform a Seiberg-Witten map to ordinary gauge fields. But in terms of ordinary gauge fields, we do know how this coupling should look like in terms of a standard DBI action. And if they are right, what we start out should lead to the expected result. So just as an example, let us start out with the coupling of the dilaton to some number of P brains. And in this DBI approximation, this is given by an expression like this. You perform the procedure which I just outlined, and what we get is an expression which is containing a straight Wilson tail, which is written as follows. Wt is a straight Wilson tail, and this is the determinant which is now expressed in terms of the open string metric and this combination of F minus B, which is always appearing. The same coupling, however, should be writable in terms of the commutative gauge field small f by the standard expression, and these two should be the same, if we are correct. This is what we are going to verify perturbatively in orders of A, but to all orders in theta. And as we know, that Seiberg and Witten had showed that this expression, which is the Lagrangian, DBI Lagrangian density, is related to the Lagrangian density written in terms of the non-commutative fields by terms which involves derivatives of F, which we ignore, and terms which are total derivatives. We cannot ignore these total derivatives now because we are coupled external fields to it, and what we are going to show that is that this precisely these total derivatives are those total derivatives which came from the expansion of the Wilson tail. I obviously cannot show you the calculation, but let me just indicate the lowest order result of how that happens. So this is the expression which is written in terms of the ordinary gauge fields and the expansion of that determinant G plus B plus F. The first step is to explain the various quantities written out here in terms of the quantities of the non-commutative theory, the open string metric and the open string coupling. And finally, use the Seiberg-Witten map. But to order A, the Seiberg-Witten map is in fact completely trivial. So you can rewrite this entire expression as follows. So let me put it on the other side. In terms of the non-commutative F, we can expand the Wilson tail in powers of A, which I had explained, which has an expression which is like this. So this is the original operator, which is this determinant, and times some total derivatives. So let us look at this expression. The first term, of course, gives an expansion which involves this factor, and the second term, which comes from the first contribution from that non-trivial Wilson tail, gives you this expression. And you add these two up, and this, of course, exactly agrees with that. To higher orders, the non-triviality of the Seiberg-Witten map becomes important, and the calculation is straightforward but complicated, but the result continues to hold, and we believe it does hold to all orders in A. To order A cube and higher, the symmetrized trace makes a difference, and we haven't made an explicit check yet. You could repeat this same thing for other supergravity modes, for example, the graviton, but I'll not give those results. As I said, that in any approximation scheme, our procedure yields the operators in some description, and our procedure, I think, will be most useful for slowly varying coherent brain waves with large amplitudes and the physics of that. It would be particularly interesting to see the coupling to Ramon fields, extending earlier work with Mukhi and Surya Narayana. And one could, in principle, one could obtain, or could use the Seiberg-Witten maps to use the, to get the operators in any other description. There is another way which one can obtain couplings to the non-commutative brains. It's namely by performing a wall sheet calculation with a single closed string insertion and arbitrary number of open strings. This, I believe, will be described in the talk by Ogury. And as you will see, the straight Wilson tail makes its appearance in those calculations. And as far as I understand, in an appropriate limit, the results agree. So far, we have looked at couplings with bulk modes at a linearized level. Another place where such couplings would make an appearance is in holography, which in fact served as the original motivation for us to study this subject. We expect our techniques to be useful to these operators, to extract these operators as well, using some known correspondence in the supergravity solutions. And in the last minute, if I may, I'll just make one point which I think we should be able to understand later. There's one kind of general relationship which one should be able to understand quantitatively once we have such operators. And this is an infrared ultraviolet relationship. In the standard ADS-CFT correspondence, if I take an object which is at some distance u0 in terms of these coordinates away from the boundary, its hologram is an object which has a size which keeps increasing as the object moves away from the boundary. This is the well-known infrared ultraviolet correspondence. If you look at the proposed supergravity duals for the non-commutative gauge theories, something opposite happens. When that object is very far in the interior, very far away from the boundary, where this metric is, in fact, the ADS metric, the relationship is the standard relationship which is found in the ADS-CFT correspondence. However, calculations, which are sort of little bit qualitative in nature, show that near the boundary, this relationship is, in fact, inverted. Namely, as you go very close to the boundary, the size of the hologram also increases. And the relationship is of a form which is, in fact, exactly what one expects from the size of the Wilson tail, namely u0 being an energy of the or momentum in the non-commutative gauge theory, the size is proportional to that momentum. We believe that this should be a universal feature of the gauge theory, and we hope that the methods developed and described in this talk will be useful to understand this rather important feature. Thank you.
We have time for a couple of questions. If there are no further questions, we'll thank the speaker once again. The next part of the morning session will start at 11:30.